The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brothers. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all of the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." The Gospel of the Lord. Today is our Haiti Mission Sunday, and we're blessed to have with us Father Tom Hagen and Doc Campbell, who will give us an update on their work in Haiti, especially during these difficult times. First, we'll show a short video, and then they'll speak to us.
Special greetings to all of you watching this video. My name is Evans, and I have the privilege to be the general manager of all Ends Together projects in Port-au-Prince area. First of all, I would like to thank all of you for taking this initiative to support Ends Together projects as you always do. I wish I could be there physically with you in that event to express my gratitude to all of you, the greatest and the most generous benefactors of all time. And also, let me take a special moment to salute the memory of a great man who have dedicated his life serving the poorest of the poor in Haiti, and especially in Cité Soleil, Carl Ole Snyder. He was a great man, a great ambassador, a great representative of the kindness and generosity of the people from Holy Family Parish. We will always be grateful to him. Last couple of years have been very tough here in Haiti. With all the gangs' rivalry, violence, kidnapping, and the civil unrest, I have never seen as much human misery and suffering as I do now. And added to that, the Haitian Ministry of Health and Population has recently confirmed the return of cholera in Haiti. And 78 cases have been identified in Cité Soleil and some other places in Port-au-Prince. So the situation of Haiti and COVID-19 around the world have impacted our project so badly. And as a result, we have lost a lot of friends and support along the way. But one group remains on our side and keep us on track. It's Holy Family Parish. So I would like to remind you how vital and essential your help and support are for Ends Together projects and programs.
Yeah.
this year, a lot of big challenges are looming. And we depend desperately on your support to keep our projects alive. And without your support, things would have been very difficult, even impossible. So thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your kindness. And thank you for thinking of the poorest of the poor in Haiti. Thank you. We love you. Bye-bye.
Please join me in welcoming Doug and Father Tom.
May Almighty God be with you, give you the words that you wanted to say, and bless you with this peace, name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Good to see you. Wow. Every time I see that film, you know, I see Carl's face, and I'm just reminded what a gift he was to this parish, and certainly to my life, and to Hands Together, and all of that, and how deeply missed he is. Carl was a force of nature. You're not going to find people like him. He was tireless, day in and day out. The phone would ring. It's Carl. You know, he's got all sorts of things he needed. He was always very prolific, always getting things done. So. It's a wonderful tribute to him and to your parish. Thanks. Yeah, it's Carl. Carl. And another note as far as your parish's, you know, blessings and what a special parish. To have Father Albert here, he's just flung his arms open like this, and he's just taking us right in, and hasn't missed a beat from Carl or anything, and Father Albert, you've just been so kind to us, and I know that we're gonna be okay with you here. So we love you too. Thanks, buddy. We're facing a lot of problems down there. I love to get up here and say, hey, you know, kind of give you a nice dog and pony show where this is going well and this is going well and this is going well, and we're all doing it together and hurrah, but. You know, and if you've been here very long, you know that you're probably tired of hearing this phrase, things now are worse than they've ever been. I mean, every year it seems like we say that, isn't it? You know, the children that you see in that film that are kind of getting ready to graduate and all, can you imagine the lives that they've had, you know, and how you've been inexorably intertwined with their lives as friends and supporters from afar? They don't know your name. They don't know where you live or anything like that, but they know who Holy Family is. And to them, you're just a bright beacon of light. I mean, you hear Holy Family, and they all smile, you know, Holy Family. And there's Holy Family all over the walls of our schools and all over our center and everything. It's just the fingerprints and the footprints of Holy Family can be found everywhere. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to try to tell you, you know, that it's not so bad or this or that. We're really facing a tough time. The country is almost in a civil war. It's so bad that it's never been to the point where it is now, where we cannot even bring our water truck into Cité Soleil to give water. And I remember we're sitting and we're trying to figure out. We have to get water to them. We would bring our water truck in four or five times a day. The water truck costs like $8 to fill a water truck. So, you know, clean water is just so, so profoundly needed. And so what do we do now with no access to bring that water truck in? And we pray about that. And we're literally we have the only functional water well in most of the Cité Soleil area. It's in our high school. And our high school is just outside of this contained kind of, you know, locked in barriers that are there that prevent people from going in and out of the slum. So we're pumping buckets and buckets of water. We're putting them in wheelbarrows, and we're having some of the gang guys that we're trying to have do something different than besides running around with guns. And they're eager to leave that kind of life. It's just not a nice life for those young men. And so we're doing all this, and then all of a sudden we have we have cholera, and cholera comes to us, and I don't know if you've ever seen or experienced cholera, but it is a scary thing, man. It's a scary thing. I saw cholera right up close in my face. It wasn't long ago, and we were getting ready to have our graduation, and this student who had graduated the year before was helping set up the chairs and the tables and all, and he became ill. And I said, well, tell Dr. Samuel he's not doing well and have him check him out. And we didn't know cholera was back. And then he went home to his small little apartment, his little one-room home. And several hours later, it's like, Doug, come quick. You got to come over there. He's really, really sick. I go, well, Dr. Samuel's there, isn't he? And the kid says to me, you got to go now. You got to get over there. So I get over there, you know, and before I walked through the curtain that separated his room from the rest of the little hut, the smell hit me. And it was like the smell of like a corn syrup, if you're baking and you have that corn syrup stuff, and it's sweeties. And I walked through the narrow thing, and I looked down, and he's on his bed, and he's drenched, and he's got a sheet on him, and it looks like a thin film of almost liquidy gel kind of stuff. And it was his bodily fluids were literally just coming out of this person from both places everywhere. And his eyes were sunken back, and he's staring up at me, and he couldn't really talk, but he's just staring at me. And Dr. Samuel was there, and he says, it won't be long now. It won't be long now. And there it was. And it happened right in front of me. I said, it's really happening, isn't it? He's going. He's leaving us. And there wasn't a single thing I could do about it. I just had to sit there and watch him go. And he just looked at me the whole time. And so cholera is a very, very brutal, brutal way to go. And I know that we can do something. We've been able to get more of these, we've had a lot of donations from Liquid IV and different things. And there's been about 1,000 cases of that. But if you get cholera real early, you know, you remember how important that water is. When you have cholera, if you vomit or something, you have to scrub that right away with the solution, or it spreads like that. So I want you to know that we're doing something about that. This is one of the problems we're facing. And so together we got a lot of challenges. And the only thing we can do, and as Catholics and as partners together in this difficult work, is we got to pray. Jesus says it in the gospel, is what do we do in times of great worry, times when all hope is lost, times when you think that you can't take another blow, when this has gone wrong and I've lost my job and I'm getting divorced and one of my children is in the hospital sick, and just one thing after another keeps coming, and it's far too much for me to handle as a human being, or far too much to handle as a human being even with friends. There's only one solution. And in these times, it tells us, right, it says, you have to pray and you have to fast. And fast doesn't mean really giving up a cheeseburger. It means stopping and removing anything that's in the way between you and your connection to the Creator. And when we pray, and when I pray like that, what happens is I get strengthened by the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that in a funny way. I really mean it. I really mean it. We get strengthened by the Holy Spirit. The obstacles are not going to be removed. We must start there. We have to accept the fact that we have obstacles and battles in front of us, that we have to face them, and we have to go right at them. And, you know, it's like going to the dentist. I don't like going to the dentist, but I got to go there and get my, you know, with. And so it's similar, but much more grave. But the Holy Spirit will strengthen us. It will strengthen us. And we will take these challenges, and we will get through them somehow. We'll get through them. Just coming here is one way of combating this thing and sharing these problems with you. And I know that you'll help us with the funds and especially the prayers together. God will not abandon us. God will not let us go through this alone. And God will not let us falter. He will be there to pick us up, and he will care for us. Trust me, it's happened over and over. It's the truth, and it's real. So we need your help this weekend. We need to pray together like crazy. Really pray from our deep in here, right in here. Really pray, and the Holy Spirit will help us get through this. That's enough for me. Thanks for listening to me. I'm going to bring up my mentor, Father Tom. God bless you. We love you.
Thanks, Douglas. I'll just be a couple seconds. When I was I was probably ordained, I don't know how many years, but I had this wonderful Irish mother. She's a feisty little lady, and she used to say to me, "Don't preach long. Don't be preaching long." Then she would come in the church and sit in the front pew like the first lady, and she'd be all proud of her son. And as soon as I began preaching, her hand would go up. Well, people would, I try to ignore her, and people would say, "Well, there's an old lady there holding her hand up. Why don't you?" And I said, "You're preaching too long." And I remember that. They'd all clap. But anyway, promise. All I can just say is how happy I am to be here. And I feel each time I come here, and I mentioned it at the other masses, I really feel like I'm coming home. Because it's you over these years have done so much to support me and affirm all our work. And I'm deeply grateful to you. And as I look out at you now, I want to call you fellow missionaries. Because I believe with my whole heart and my whole soul that each and every one of us is indeed a missionary. You don't have to go to Haiti or Latin America. Our Lord God is calling you just where you are. Our newest saint, St. John Cardinal Newman, would say that every human being has a unique mission. And no one else can do that. And you may not know your mission totally until your afterlife. But it has a lot to do with building a better world. And so my fellow missionaries, I once heard that a mission by itself is pure drudgery. A dream by itself is pure nonsense. But a dream and a mission together is the hope of the world. You saw this video today, and it doesn't do justice to what it's like down there. It's one of those horrible places on earth, and it's much, much worse than when I first came there. You see the women feeding their children mud. There is the terrible cholera that's broke out. Just the other day before I left, we had 27 people die of that disease. There's a horrible violence, so much violence going on. And 15 years ago or 16 years ago, be honest with you, I was feeling my mission as real drudgery. And I was really starting to feel overwhelmed. And then one day, suddenly, two people arrive, Monsignor Connolly and wonderful Carl. And what they did is they helped me to connect my dream with my mission again. And they left there and they invited me to come back. And I remember the first time I came here, how gracious and hospitable you were. And so I'm now, as I mentioned the other masses, I'm now 81 years old. And I'm an old codger. But in my prayer life in the last couple years has been all about gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my priesthood. Thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for my friends and my family. And then thank you, Lord, for Holy Family Parish. There isn't a day that doesn't go by that I don't thank God for you. Thank you for helping me to hold on to my dream and to carry out my mission. And my fellow missionaries, because of you now, 750,000 people get fresh water every day. Thanks to you, we were able to purchase a secondhand water drill years ago. Thanks to you, we've opened up 21 free schools. In Haiti, they don't have a public school system. Every school, you have to pay something. We get totally free thanks to you. Thanks to you, we take care of 1,700 elderly. We give them food and medical help every day. Thanks to you that we've now challenged many of the gangs to stop what they're doing and through our project called Dismas. Thank you for helping us to set up 7 free clinics throughout the country. And thank you for helping us to feed the people. You know, there's days when we feed as many as 200,000 people. We give them a kit of maybe 50 meals And you can figure out it's spread throughout the slum. But my fellow missionaries, sometimes it's been very, very hard. But I just thank God for your presence. But as I look out at you, I have to say something to you. You may say, oh, you're going back to that horrible place in Haiti and all this misery. But to be very honest with you, you may not have that misery, but life is not easy for you. And I know it's not. There's a culture out there that in many ways is evil, a culture that has an orientation towards narcissism and self-absorption, a culture that wants you to take care of yourself and no one else. It's a culture that doesn't want your marriage to work. And it must be very hard to raise children in such a culture. And it's very hard, and I want to talk to my good friend here as an older priest. It's got to be hard to be a priest in this culture. It is. And there's an evil force that doesn't want all this to happen, to try to undermine everything. We just lost the foundation that gave us the food. We lost it because of our stand on pro-life. They said, oh, no, you know, you have to be more open-minded and so forth. But you know what? You can't. You have to stand up for what you believe in. And that's part of your mission. You have to have the courage to stand on your own feet and see all that's good and all that's evil and say, yes, Lord, you know, I have a dream that somehow I can help the world. And so I encourage you, my dear people. Mother Teresa of Calcutta once said, don't give in to that temptation. You're not doing something significant about this world of ours. Don't feel overwhelmed by all that you see. Simply make a resolution that the next person that comes into your space walks away a little better and a little happier. You see, my fellow missionaries, the most sacred space next to the tabernacle is the person sitting closest to you right now. That person is the most sacred space. He or she is the visible Jesus in your life. And that has to be our mission. And if we could begin to do that, we can build a better world. And our dream someday is, and it's the dream that I have, it'll be the most exhilarating moment in our life. Suddenly we'll look up and we'll see the face of Jesus. It's going to be the moment of our death. And it's going to be a happy moment. And next to him are going to be our relatives and friends, and then are we going to be surprised. We're going to see people there we never thought would be there. And our Lord's only going to ask one thing. He couldn't care less how big our home is in South Pasadena. He doesn't care about all your degrees and all your honors and everything else. All he's going to ask of you and me is, did you recognize my face? And I hope you and I will be able to say, yes, Lord, I did. And so I beg you, my fellow missionaries, take 5 minutes every day just in simple prayer. Just be silent, that's all. You don't have to say anything. Say, Lord, here I am. And please, I beg you, never, never abandon your faith in your Catholic Church. And this wonderful parish, never abandon it. And once in a while, if you're down in the dumps, come in here and say, Lord, I need a hug. You'll get that hug. Trust me, in the years that I've been a priest, I've worked in Nicaragua, Guatemala, Haiti. I know what it's like to see people suffer for their faith. I know what it's like to stand at that altar and have a gun held to my head and watch the woman shot to death reading the epistle. I know what it's like to have the goons outside, as is happening now in Haiti, daring people to come into church. Love your faith. Don't give it up. And I'm sorry for talking so long. But listen, I love you, and I thank you. And my good friend here, Albert, you're a good man. And I pray for your priesthood, and you guys are lucky to have Albert. So anyway, God bless you, and God love you. And also, please, Mary now is coming up, and what a saint she is. She's been good to us over the years. Anyway, thank you so much.
Hello. It's great to be standing before you today. What a lovely day. And I won't say much. There's really nothing to add. I will ask you to pray for their safety each and every day, maybe even outside those 5 minutes when you're praying. We need to take care of Father Tom and Doug. In the pews, and hopefully from your mailboxes in your homes, you received our brochure. There's an envelope. The envelope is to put something inside. We need your support, as we have for the last 20 years. We accept checks, made out to Holy Family Church, maybe memo section, Mission Haiti. Credit cards are fine, large bills, coins, whatever may be appropriate for you at the time. I ask you to pray with your family and friends and really discern how you can help Mission Haiti. And from the bottom of my heart, and I know certainly from theirs, we thank you. We thank you for years of support and for being here today. I'd also like to invite you to come over and have a donut and maybe a cup of coffee and say hello to Tom and Doug and give them a hug and a pat on the back for everything they're doing. God bless you. Thank you.